what comes to your mind when you think of wisdom? What comes to your mind? When you think of a person who is wise, maybe you have in your mind a person that's a financial guru. Maybe you have in your mind a college professor. Maybe you have in mind your husband that's sitting next to you and is just the wisest person. I don't know if anybody's thinking of that, but great job if you are. Carrie, you were thinking of that maybe. I don't know for sure. But wise people is something that we want to be. I don't think any of us would say, you know what, I would just prefer to not be wise. I would prefer that I live an unwise life. Nobody would say that. But we all have this question of how do I get from maybe unwise to wise? And so today what we're going to see is maybe wisdom from a different perspective. Not wisdom in maybe the day in and day out decisions that I make, although that's important and there's some good sermons that we could give on that as well. Today we want to take it a little bit of a higher level of the wisdom of living. Just the wisdom, not the wisdom of should I take this job or should I take that job, but the wisdom of how should I build my life? What is it that I need to be looking towards to where my life is living and being built in a wise way? Because what we're going to find out today from James, who's the brother of Jesus, he's going to say this. Is the wisdom isn't about how much you know. And I'm for you knowing things. Knowing things is good. But the wisdom that James is going to talk about is not, do I know a lot of things? It's really, how am I living day in and day out? And what James is going to do, and if you have a Bible and if you want to follow along, we're going to be in James chapter 3. And we're going to read just a few of these chunks of scripture. And what James is getting ready to tell us is there's two types of wisdom, and all of us are going to fall into one of the two categories. There's the earthly wisdom, and there's the godly wisdom. Earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. And what you're going to discover in James's message to us and what we're going to look at is that there is areas of your life where you are either doing well in this or you're not. There's nobody that's neutral. There's nobody that's, well, I'm not good or bad. We all are in a building of, am I having this wise life? And so here's the big idea today is that the wisdom that you follow determines the life that you build, the wisdom that you follow. Whether if I follow earthly wisdom, that's going to determine the life that I build. That's going to have impacts on what type of relationships I have and how is my life going to look when I look back and have an assessment of my life. And then if I can, on the other side of the coin, if I can choose day in and day out godly wisdom, well, that's going to be reflected in how I build my life, how I engage with relationships. And you're gonna have examples of this that you've seen. That if we follow earthly wisdom, what James is getting ready to say, is the result of that is gonna be brokenness, there's gonna be some regret, there's gonna be some infighting, there's gonna be some relationships that aren't what they could have been. And then we can also choose, I want to follow godly wisdom, and I can build through that a life of purpose, that I can build a life of peace. And so if you have a Bible or if you want to follow along on your phone, James chapter 3, we're going to start in verse number 13. Again, James is the brother of Jesus, and he's going to show us some pretty, pretty profound things. That if you are wise and understand God's ways, I love this, prove it. In other words, that wise people are able to be recognized by the type of life that they live. That wisdom isn't just about knowing things, it's about what does my life look like day in and day out. Prove it. If you want to be wise, it's not just about knowing all the answers. Prove it by living an honorable life. Not prove it by having all of the answers to all of the questions. Not prove it by having more money. Not prove it by having the spotlight on you, but prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. And what James is saying is that wise people are always humble people. That you have never met a wise, proud person. Those two things are oil and water. Because wise people understand, there's a lot of things I don't understand. Wise people know, there's a lot of things that I don't know. And so you can be prideful and you can know a lot of things, but James says that's not actually wisdom. That's maybe having a lot of information. But the wisest people recognize, there are a lot of things that I don't know. And then James is, again, he's going to give us these differentiations of earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. And what he's going to show us is that we are going to follow one or the other. And our tendency, if we don't work at it, is that we're going to follow earthly wisdom. That if you just pick up your feet and let the current of culture take you wherever it wants to take you, you will find yourself in this, what James is going to call earthly wisdom. But if I can choose instead to put my feet down and say, no, I'm going to swim against the current, I'm going to swim against the culture, I can live out this godly wisdom, and it's going to impact my relationships horizontally, and it's going to impact my relationships vertically with God. Verse number 14 through 16 says it this way. But if you are bitterly jealous, and if there's selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth by boasting and lying. Here's what James is saying, that if you just pick up your feet and just go with whatever feels right in the moment, here's where you're gonna end up. You're gonna end up with bitterly jealous, that you'll live a life that says, I'm always comparing myself. I should have that. I want to be that way. Why do they get that? I think that that should have been mine. And it's that life that just is always looking around and saying, I should have what they have. And some of you have met people, some of you have experienced people who live that type of life, who they're never satisfied, never content. They're always chasing that next thing. Well, James says, well, that's jealousy. And that is a type of earthly wisdom that has a final destination. And it's really, really sad because I never get to the finish line. When I live a life of jealousy, looking at you, well, why didn't I have that? Why couldn't I be that type of person? Why did you get? It's that constant chasing of I've got to do more, I've got to do more, I've got to do more, and it's exhausting. And then he says there's another part of it that is this selfish ambition. Not ambition that I want to do well in life and I want to do better than my parents did. It's not that ambition that there's some healthy ambition. He says it's that ambition that it's harmful to other people. That you have this ambition that is selfish, that on the way climbing up the ladder of my life, I'm happy to step on other people's heads to get there. That's the ambition he's talking about. And you've met people like that. That people are not people to love, they're just people to use. And if you're in my way, on my way to get where I need to go, then I'll throw you out of the way and it doesn't bother me. And you've met people like that. Maybe you've experienced a boss like that. And you know the chaos that ensues when people are bitterly jealous, and when they have that ambition, that is, it's all about me, because it always breeds chaos. It always breeds tension. It always breeds discouragement. And it says for jealousy and selfishness, that drive that we have, that we will all move towards if we're not careful, they're not God's kind of wisdom. Now the earth, the world would say, and culture would say, and every commercial says, you should drive this thing. You need to be this type of person. Hey, if somebody's in your way, then they're just something that you've got to deal with and move them out of your way. James is saying that's not what Christians do. That's not a godly type of wisdom, but you'll move into that really easily if you're not careful. And then he gets really, really strong. He says such things that jealousy and selfish ambition and just living a life that it's me focused and it's all about I've got to do better, I've got to do more, and if you're in the way, then I'll just kind of figure out how to get around you and how to use you for my own purposes. He says they're earthly, they're unspiritual. And then listen to this word, they're demonic. He's saying that if you live this worldly wisdom, it's just the focused on today. Earthly is just, it's just this moment. What feels good right now? What is happening that's I need to fix right now? It has no eternal perspective. Unspiritual just means I'm not listening to God's voice. I'm saying, this is what I feel. This is what I think is right. And I don't let the voice of God's Spirit lead and guide and direct. I'm going to be the one that's in charge of me. And then he says it's demonic. Demonic just means that it's not just that I'm ignoring God, I'm actually being driven away from God. That it's not just that I'm living my life for me and me alone, I'm actually actively moving away from God. And he says that's not the wisdom that you want, but that wisdom will build a life. That people build their whole life with jealousy and selfish ambition, looking at only the moment, looking at what's in it for me. And at the end of their life, they look back, and you know this because you've met people like it. Well, this isn't the life I wanted. This isn't the life that's the best for me, for wherever he goes on. Wherever there's that jealousy, wherever it's me against you, I should have that. I should have done better. I can't believe they got the promotion. I can't believe they got the raise. I can't believe it. I've got to do better. It's just keeping up the Joneses. Wherever there's that jealousy, wherever there's that selfish ambition, you're going to find disorder and you're going to find evil of every kind. James shows us exactly what's going to happen when we build our life on the wrong type of wisdom. That when we follow chaos, when we follow jealousy and when we follow selfish ambition, chaos is never far beyond. Some of you have worked in an environment like that. Some of you have a boss or have worked in an office where the people that were in charge were driven by jealousy. People were driven by ambition that was willing to use people, and it was a chaotic environment. It was just chaos. Everything there was no peace there. People were always on edge. It was me against you, and I've got to watch my back because they might stab me in the back. There's just so much tension. And James says, that's earthly wisdom. But if we're not careful, we can slide into that really, really easily. It's easy for us to say, well, that's somebody else. That's what other people do. But if I'm not careful, I can start to think, well, I deserve that. I should be in that position. If I'm not careful, I can start to think, well, it's just about this moment right now. I can have that earthly mindset. I can have that unspiritual mindset where I'm not listening to God's voice. I'm just listening to what feels good and what is my voice saying and what do I want in this moment. And then James, in verse number 17, he gives us the other side of the coin. And this is what I want to invite you to this week and this morning. He's going to give us several attributes of godly wisdom. And what you're going to discover in these is some of these you might do okay, and some of these you probably need some work on. And so here's my invitation to you. I want you to pick out one or two that you recognize, boy, there's a gap between James's ideal and where I am. And I want you to make a choice this week. I'm going to work on that because these are things that you can either choose to do or not do. These are things that you can decide, this is the type of person that I'm going to be. And you can put your feet down and say, I want to build my life with godly wisdom. I want to be the type of person that if it's true that wisdom is building my life, I want to make sure that I'm building it in the right way. And what you're going to discover in James chapter 3, verse 17, is everything is relational. The first one is my relationship between me and God, and the rest of them are the relationships between me and other people, me and my family, me and my coworkers, me and my neighborhood, me and the boards that I'm on. And he says, listen, wisdom is way more than just what job should I choose. Wisdom has way more long-term consequences than should I buy this house or should I continue to rent. Those are important questions. There's good questions. We can talk about the answers to those questions from Scripture, but that's not what James is talking about. James is talking about, how do I build a life? How do I make sure that the life that I'm living has a firm foundation, and the relationships that I have between people that I love and people that I work with are solid and strong? How can I make sure that the relationship between me and God is on the right path? James chapter 3, verse 17 gives us, this is what you do. You could call these the bricks of building life, the wisdom from above, and then we're just going to go through each of these, and then we're going to be done for the day. But the wisdom from God. So earthly wisdom is selfish, it's jealous, it's me and me alone, and it's right here, right now, today. But wisdom from God, well, it's first of all pure. It's peace-loving. It's gentle at all times. It's willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And so just really briefly this morning, again, some of these you might already be doing pretty well. And some of these you might need some growth. I recognize in me, I'm not going to tell you which one it is, but I recognize in me there's some growth that I need. And I bet you'll find it as well. And that's your homework for today. I just want you to latch onto one of these and say, God, I want to be a wise person. And if you are saying that this is the type of life that wise people lead, I want you to lead me and guide me into this. Wise people, James says, first of all, wise people are pure. That's that relationship between God and I. The wise people have clear motives, that I'm focused day in and day out on, I want my life to honor God. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect, because you're not going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that I always do all the right things at all the right times, because I'm not going to do that. It just means that the trajectory of my life is, I want to honor God day in and day out. I want to be pure. I want to keep growing. I want to keep reflecting God in my day in and day out life. Psalm said it this way, God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a loyal spirit within me. James, in the next chapter, verse number eight of chapter four, James says this, come close to God and God will come close to you. And then again, James does not mince words. He's not trying to sugarcoat anything. He says, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify. That's what we want. Wise people are pure. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. And some of us, we just have to be honest with ourselves to say, you know what, that is kind of me. That my loyalty is sometimes for God, and I love God, and I want to honor God, but then there's a lot of times where when it's not convenient to honor God, when it's not convenient to be pure in my relationships, it's not convenient to be pure in the way that I live, I'm kind of loyal to myself, and I'm loyal to what I want, and I'm loyal to what I feel. Am I unwise in that I too easily allow other things in my life? What God invites us to is a heart that has said, God, in all my ways, I want to acknowledge you. In everything that I do, in every decision that I make, in the music that I listen to, in the things that I watch, in the things that I involve myself in, I want to be pure because I want my relationship between me and you to be unhindered. And so some questions that you can ask yourself is, am I opening the door to things that, if I'm honest, I know are not honoring God? Is there things I've allowed in my life that if I'm really honest, I know that God wouldn't be that pleased with that? And some people say, and especially young people that we'll talk and we'll say, I don't know if that's the best thing for you. And I don't know if that's the type of things that you should be involving yourselves in. And they give sometimes the excuse, especially when I was a youth pastor and I was talking with all these teenagers, they would say, oh, those things don't bother me. Oh, those things aren't a big deal. Those things don't bother me at all. And just again, just pastorally, can I just say something just with kindness and love? That if things don't bother you, that's a problem. That if you are just totally fine with whatever comes into your life, and if there's no check, if there's no red light that says, I don't think this is right, that should be a warning sign to you that says, maybe there's some disconnect between me and God. Maybe I'm following earthly wisdom because godly wisdom is pure. And if I involve myself in things that, if I'm honest, I know aren't right, but if it doesn't, quote unquote, bother me, that should bother me. That should be something that says, wait a minute, I think I've drifted far enough from God to where my conscience is so dull. Wise people are pure, but not only that. And then he goes to our horizontal relationships. He says, I want your relationship with you and God to be pure vertically, and then everything else is horizontal. He says, wise people are peace-loving. And we live in a society, well, we love an argument, don't we? Don't we just live in a world that just, well, I'm just looking forward to arguing with you. I'm looking forward to positioning myself against you. We see it in government, we see it in companies, we see it in families, that people are just argumentative. Wise people, James says, they actively look for opportunities. How can I bring peace to this? How can I bring peace to my family? How can I bring peace to my relationships? How can I bring peace to my workplace? All the places that I go, how can I be a person that brings peace? Paul said it this way, do all that you can. So it doesn't, the other people don't, you know, it doesn't matter what they do. Doesn't matter what your coworkers do. Doesn't matter what your kids do. Doesn't matter what your parents do. Doesn't matter what your spouse does. This is a you thing. You can't make anybody else be wise, but you can be wise. You can't make anybody try to live at peace with you, but you can try to live at peace with them. Do all that you can to live in peace with, not the people that you agree with, because it's easy to live at peace with people that you agree with. Do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. What does that look like for you? I don't know. That's going to look different for different people, but as far as me, I want to live at peace with you. And yeah, you can be argumentative, but I don't have to fight fire with fire. I don't have to match your energy. You know, people, that's the new internet kind of phrase. Well, I'm just going to match their energy. Well, that's not godly wisdom. That's earthly wisdom. That's the wisdom that says, boy, it's me against you. Well, let's go. Let's see who's going to win. Well, that's not godly wisdom. And part of us thinks, especially the men, we kind of push back and we say, that seems awfully passive. That seems a little feminine. That seems like I'm just going to let, but here's what you need to remember. James was killed for his faith. James lived a way harder life than we live. James was a guy that knew how to stand on his own 2 feet. When they said to James, hey, recount your faith in Christ or we're going to kill you, James said, well, you just as well kill me because I'm not doing it. James was a man that was able to stand on his own 2 feet, and he says, I'm going to try to live at peace. I'm going to do that all I can. The Roman government was coming against him, trying to snuff out this thing. Jewish leaders coming against him, trying to snuff out this thing. James says, I'm going to stand on my own 2 feet. I'm confident enough to know that at the end, I'm going to be with my Savior, Jesus. In the meantime, I'm going to do my best to live at peace with everyone. That's the part that depends on me. Jesus said it this way, God blesses those who work, and it's hard work sometimes, because some people are difficult. It's hard to live at peace with that person. You've got somebody in your mind. But Jesus said, God actually will bless you. God will bless you. They're going to be called the children of God. Now, again, I want you to think about just for a moment all the conflicts that you've had, maybe just this last month. Conflicts with your spouse, conflicts with your kids, conflicts with whoever that is. Just think about this for a moment. You got that in your mind? Here's the common denominator between all of them. You were there. You were involved, right? You were part of every conflict you had. And conflict, you will have conflict to a degree. But wise people say, in this conflict, I have a choice. I have a choice in how I'm going to respond. I have a choice of how I'm going to react or not react. And I'm going to work because I want to be wise. I want to build my life in a certain way. I don't want to disrupt peace. So wise people are pure. Wise people work for peace. And then we talked about this a few weeks ago. Wise people are gentle. And again, it sounds so passive. It sounds, am I just going to get ran over? Everybody's going to take advantage of me. Here's what this word gentle means. I want you to think of, this is what James' word was referring to. This powerful, powerful horse that is so well trained that at the flick of a wrist, it can stop. It can change direction. Why? Not because it's weak, but because it's that strength under control. It's self-control, gentleness, self-control. Listen, that's a lost art. I want it now. I have to have it now. And if I need to push you out of the way to get what I want, well, that's just the way it's going to be. Well, what is that? That's James already said. That's selfish ambition. It's bitter jealousy. And James says, what would it look like if you can be gentle? It doesn't take any work to be harsh. It's easy to react. It's easy to say, oh, you're coming at me. Well, let me. Wise people are gentle. Wise people don't let their emotions run wild. Wise people, that's that earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom, it's just right now, what am I feeling? What's going on? And I'm going to make my decision based on this moment right now. Wise people say, yeah, I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to choose to be gentle. Solomon, the wisest person ever, a gentle answer, deflect anger. Wouldn't it have been nice in some of the conflicts that you had last year? If looking back, wouldn't you have rather used a gentle answer? Because things got really heated, and then you said some things that you regret, and they said some things that they regret, and you had to come back and apologize. Wouldn't it have been better? Wouldn't it have been more wise? I'm just going to be gentle. I don't know what you're going to do. It has nothing to do with you. This is a me thing. I'm choosing to build my life on godly wisdom, and so I'm going to be gentle because if I match your harsh words with my harsh words, just get spun out of control really, really fast. We've all been there. But James says that doesn't have to be the way it is. You can choose to build your life on wisdom, and part of being wise is being gentle. Here's the other one. Wise people are, this is hard for us, wise people are willing to yield. They're willing to say, okay, let's do it your way. Do you know, I don't do a lot of marriage counseling because I'm not very good at it, but all the marriage counseling that I've done, there's a common theme on, not with everyone, but most of them. Most of the conflicts that they have are a inability for each other to yield. Because in relationships and in life, and you know this, there's very, very little that's absolutely right and absolutely wrong. Most of it's somewhere in the middle. Most of it is just preferences. There are, and I'm an absolutist, I do believe there is such a thing as right and there is such a thing as wrong. I do believe there is such thing as sin and there is such thing as righteousness. But most of the conflicts that we have are in the middle. It's my preference and it's your preference. Most of the conflicts we have are, well, you're different than me, and different than me is difficult for me. Every conflict that Brandy and I have, it's just we have a difference of opinion. We just see it differently. And because I see it differently, that can make it difficult for me. And if I dig my feet in and say, no, it has to be this way, well, it's conflict. Wise people are able to say, all right, that's fine. Let's do it your way. It's not a big deal. You know, I would have preferred, but that's fine. I had that this week. I had a conversation with somebody and they wanted to do it this way. And I thought, well, I don't like that idea at all. I think it's a bad idea, but it wasn't wrong. It was just different. And different than me is difficult for me. Wise people are willing to say, sure, okay. Let's try it. Let's try it your way. You don't have to argue about how to load the dishwasher. It's okay. Yield. Be willing to. It's all right if they do it a little bit differently than you. Wise people realize, oh, maybe this isn't that big of a deal. Maybe I don't have to disrupt the peace in my life in order for me to be right. Maybe I don't have to put myself at odds with you so that I am the one who's in the right seat. Because here's what you can do, and you've seen this in other people's life, maybe in your life. You can be right, but you can right somebody right out of the door. That you can be right and you can hold your ground and you'll lose the relationship. Well, I was right. I won the argument. Well, where are they? I don't know. Haven't seen them for a while. Hey, well, yeah, but well, was it worth it? Well, not really, but I was right. I mean, I did win. Well, but I mean, have you? Where are they? They haven't called for a couple years. No idea. They don't come back. Parents, we can right our kids right out of the door. Because we can, for 17, 18 years, we can be right. And maybe you are. But then they're going to leave. And if you've righted them so much and you've lost your relationships, was it worth it? Wouldn't it have been better to be wise? Wouldn't it have been better to, well, I'm willing to yield. Okay, that's fine. Let's do it. This isn't a black or white. Now, some things are black and white. Some things are absolutely, but not a lot of them, willing to yield. Fools think their own way is right. The wise people, what do they do? What do you think? How do you see this? What's your perspective? Next one. Wise people, I'm just looking for you to grab a couple that maybe you could work on because you can choose to do these or not. This is something that you can do or not do. It's up to you. It's just a way to build a life. Wise people are full of mercy and good deeds. Here's another way to say it. The wise people are willing to minimize the mistakes of others. Again, we live in a society that loves nothing more than to highlight everything that you did wrong, to highlight all the times that you messed up. Wise people are willing to minimize it. I'm just going to let it go. I'm not going to hold on to that. I'm not going to be a person that holds a grudge. I'm not going to be a person that allows strife to build up in my life, that I'm going to be the type of person that says, I'm going to be merciful. I'm going to extend you grace. James, in the chapter before, James chapter 2, he said this. So whatever you say or whatever you do, this is unbelievable. Remember that you will be judged by the law that set you free. He says this, there will be no mercy to those who have not shown mercy to others. You want to talk about a wake-up call? Here it is. James is saying, oh, you held everything against other people? You weren't willing to give anybody else a second chance. You wanted to remind people of all the things that they did wrong. I don't think that's the route you want to go. Because if you're going to withhold mercy, you're not going to get mercy. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. Listen, there's a lot of opportunities in my life that God didn't have to be merciful. And I am so grateful that God wasn't stingy with his mercy. I'm so grateful that God was generous with his grace, that God was generous with his mercy. And because I want to be wise, God says, now you need to go and do that. Yes, they were wrong. Yes, they shouldn't have, but you need to be merciful. Some of your life, let me again, just pastorally, some of your lives would be way better if you would just let it go. Let it go. Let them off the hook. It's disrupting your peace. It's disrupting your ability to have relationships. Be merciful. Last one. Wise people are impartial and sincere. Impartial just means that I'm not gonna favor one person above the other. Wise people are willing to say, I'm gonna treat you the same way that I would want to be treated. But here's the one that I really want to focus on. Wise people are sincere. Can I ask you a question this morning? Does anybody really know you? Does anybody really know you? We know the you that you portray. Does anybody know you? Does anybody know the troubles and the struggles that you have? Because somebody needs to know your problems. It doesn't have to be everybody. Doesn't have to be me. Shouldn't be everybody. Maybe it shouldn't be me. But somebody better know you. Because it's easy to get caught in that web. It's easy to get caught in the, I've got to hide it. I've got to brush it under the rug. And if you don't have anybody that's willing to say, no, you can't do that. If you don't have anybody that you're open with and sharing with and going through life with, well, it's really easy to get so far off track. He finishes with this. And those who are peacemakers, it's kind of a strange way of saying this. It's kind of a strange way to end it, but here's what James is saying. Those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. That in other words, here's what James is saying, is that God wants you to leave here. So glad you were here, but you've got to leave here in a few minutes. And God wants you to get your bag of seeds of peace. And I just want you to scatter it everywhere you go. When you go back to your house, what would it look like if you started to scatter those seeds of peace? Well, you'll harvest some righteousness, right standing is what that means. That what would it look like this week if you said, everywhere that I go, I'm just gonna look for opportunities. How can I plant peace? Let me read verse number 17 again. Where do you need to grow? Where do you need to change? The wisdom from above is, first of all, it's pure. It's peace-loving. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. It's full of mercy. It's good deeds. It shows no favoritism. It's only sincere. Where do you need to grow? I know that I need to. And I know that you probably need to as well. Let me pray. Lord, we need your wisdom. We need your wisdom on how to build our life. And so, Lord, I'm praying that for all of us here, that we would choose to be people that build our life on the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Lord, it's so easy for us to get into that bitter jealousy. It's so easy to get lost in the comparison of I should be and I can't believe I'm not and I need to catch up. Lord, we don't want to get into that because it builds a life that's so empty. Lord, it's easy to get into selfish ambition, that I've got to work harder and it's me, and if I need to move somebody out of the way, then that's what I'm doing. Lord, help us. We need your help with it because it builds a life that's empty. And so we want to build a life that's wise. Lord, for some of us, we are not pure in our relationship with you. That we've opened the door and we've let some things in. And for some of us, if we're honest, they're not bothering us anymore. And I'm praying that you would sharpen us, that you would sharpen our conscience, that your spirit would speak to us again, that you would point out things and things would start to bother us this week. Lord, for some of us, we need to be people that spread peace. For some of us, we need to be more gentle. Some of us, we need to be willing to yield. Some of us, we need some people to know us. We need some people to know what's going on inside of us. All of us need to grow. So would you show us how we can do that, each one? In your name that we pray. Amen.